All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, want to thank God for all of you who are able to make it out here for Sunday service. It sure is a blessing to see those of you here today. Let's continue to keep the Navarro family in prayer. They will be MIA today on a trip to visit some family in Tijuana. Let's pray for their safe traveling mercies, and let's continue to pray for others that we don't see here at church and new visitors, Lord willing, one day to come to church from our soul-winning efforts. Let's go over some quick announcements, and then we'll continue here. Our calendar tab, we want to thank God for those who were able to make it here yesterday for soul winning. It was a blessing. My wife and I were here, and then also later on, we had some great friends that wanted to assist us and aid us in our soul winning evangelism outreach. So we're just going to go over some photos with you now to just encourage your hearts for how yesterday's soul winning outreach went. So for those of you who are familiar with our local city, when you guys go back here on this street, Dixie, you make a right, you're going to go down Apple Street. So as you're going down to Apple Street, there are a bunch of apartment complexes. And then on that side over there, Canyon is over there. And then, you know, Oceanside Boulevard over there. So I told our church last Saturday that I was so motivated by Brother Giovanni leading the group by, let's go door tag. And our youth that were willing and excited to go for the apartments, I said, let's do it again this Saturday. And so we did. My wife and I, we got here. We prayed it up. We took like this much of the door hangers. And she's like, why are you taking so much? I said, you're going to see why. We're going to go to a lot of apartments. And guys, we did. And Brother Joe, the mailman helped us. Amen. That was a blessing because he had access to the door. How about that? Amen. So he opened the door for us. He just said, oh, you guys are coming there? I said, yeah. He was a cool Mexicano named Don Lupe. Let's pray for that guy. He got a track too. So with that said, guys, here are a couple of photos. We knocked out those apartment doors. Oh, let me see if I can get here. The picture is ready. Let me just try to regather them in their order. Bear with me, church, as I group them by created. And hopefully now we should see them. Oh, no, not the created there. Give me a second here. Let me go ahead and try my best to get them back in order. Sort by. There we have. Date. Let me see if there's a way to do that date there because it should be able to come up here, but for not for some. Okay, so there's that one. And no, for some reason, the order is not coming. Well, guys, I'm trying to get the... Oh, here we have it. Okay, so here's Sister Katie at one of the apartment complexes I mentioned. She was handling business. We were just going from the complex to complex, if you will. And that is not the apartment complex. I don't know what's going on with my cell phone today trying to get these pictures in order. I might just have to click on each of these individually. So let me just go to do that now. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, so I'm just going to click on these individually. So here we have it. So there's Katie and I. We're going through all these different apartment complexes, and this is the one on Apple. So we were able to get in the Apple one because someone was leaving the parking lot, and so the doors open, you know, the automatic doors. So we went over there, and then there's the mailman, Giovanni. Here he is. He's a cool guy. He opened the gates, and we were able to go in to each complex. And so the first one was locked. We weren't able to get in the first complex, so we only got the front doors because there's a couple right there, that white complex right there. And then the next one, he was there. We gave him a track with a smile. He said, come on through. So we went in there. And then the leasing office was open. There was one lady there. So I'm like, you know what? No, let's not ask her. You know, that's kind of weird. Like, hey, we want to knock on your door. Is that okay? We kind of like try to sneak by with all the tracks over here, like hiding them from the lady. And then we kind of shook the gate. It wasn't open. So anyways, you guys now know what we're talking about. All those complexes, we did that one, all of them. There was probably a couple of hundred that we did. And it sure was a blessing. Let me show you guys some more pictures. So there's Katie there holding it down. We were just from different complex to complex. There's Katie and I, yes, with a nice little smile there. And then let's see if we have, nope, that's just one of my units. So I think that's pretty much it as far as that goes. So I just want to encourage you with that, church. Keep us in prayer. Do you have a testimony? All right, Katie's going to come up here and give quick testimony from her experience from the Saturday Soul Winning Outreach.
Hello. Yeah, it was gnarly. It was a lot of hills. It was a lot of stairs, like up and down. After each apartment, Carlos and I were just like sweating so much, and we had all these stacks. Like, I couldn't even hold it. I had to hold it with like two hands, like on my chest, like all the tracks while we're just tagging. And it was crazy because, I mean, you see them from the outside, but once you go in, the first one that we went to, it was really run down, like, you know, it was you know, really sad to kind of see. But you know what, we were still able to go over there and just tag the doors, and hopefully they'll hear the gospel. And After that one, they just continued, and we were going to start heading up, but the mailman reminded us. He was like, oh, you guys aren't going to go to Apple Street? And we're like, oh,
there's
more? The
mailman said, there are more over there. I'm like, well, let's go.
I was like, oh, okay. So we turned around, and we went to, like, all these other apartments, and oh, my goodness, it was a good, you know, feeling, you know, being able to knock out that whole entire, like, neighborhood of apartments. We were able to sneak back into one. Carlos, like, shoved his hand through the fence and, like, twisted it. And so
for the Lord.
And so we were able to go back through because there was this little bridge that went to these little cottage areas. And so we walked through the bridge and everything. And we're just kind of like looking because, I mean, the leasing apartment, you know, offices are right there in the middle of, like, all these apartments. So it was like kind of you were kind of nervous, I guess. I was a little nervous, like, oh my gosh, let me just, like, turn this way and walk, you know, with the tracks. But by the time that we finished, I was able to hold it, like, this much in my hands, you know, and for, like, it was just huge. It was really cool. It was a great experience. And Carlos kind of pushed me. He's like, let's wait for the mailman. So we waited like 5-6 minutes at the front gate of this one apartment section. I'm just like, Carlos, let's go. I feel really awkward just standing here. And he's like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to wait. You know, he's going to come. I have faith. And here he comes, like, in his little perfect timing. And then he comes up and he's like, you guys want in? We're like, yes. He's like, okay, come on in. He opened the door and let us in. And then he's like, all right, good job, guys. You know, and then we said bye. Thank you, of course. And it was a really good experience. And Carlos got to see some Mormons right as we were coming out of one of the apartment complexes, closed the door behind us. And he was having a good conversation with them and just asking them about their beliefs, about, like, their origin and who created, if they believe it, you know, that Jesus was created, and, you know, and they believe that, like, in different worlds, that another, that Father God was created. And Carlos was like, well, who created him? Then who created him? Like, who's the original? Who's the origin? Like, who created all, like, these, you know, that you guys understand? They're like, oh, we never really thought about that. So in love, you know, he was able to have a good charitable conversation with them. And, you know, it was a pretty good time of fellowship. And then we got to meet up with brother. It was a pride party down there at the pier. And so it was packed out with, like, thousands of people there. And Carlos was witnessing to a group of, like, young kids that were, you know, part of that and the pride. So we got a lot of pretty decent reception, I would say. We had some of them that were, you know, yelling back at us, you know. But, I mean, we just kept ourselves humble, kept ourselves just keep continuing to pass out tracts and share the gospel. And I feel like we had a pretty good fellowship there. So, yeah, it was good.
Thank you, Sister Katie.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I want to thank God for my wife. She's my helpmate. And just a little side plug in there for those of you that are married. The Lord has blessed you, wives, to be a helpmate to your husband to fulfill the work that God has called them to do. And so I just want to say thank the Lord for my wife. She's my best friend, my right-hand woman, my helper, my best supporter in ministry. And so, church, let's continue to obey the command of our Savior when he said to go into the world. All Christians are commanded to evangelize. All Christians are commanded to go and do something for Christ. And like I told you guys, some of you might like the door-to-door. Some of you like the public outreach. So whatever that might mean for you, just commit yourself and let's just go off and do that. If you want to join us for the both of the parts, join us. If you just want to join us for one of the parts, that's okay. But you're serving and you're being obedient to the Lord. So let's do that. These are the Mormon boys that I was able to witness to right there. And a super cool, humble conversation. So keep those guys in prayer. I was able to charitably let them know why they're wrong in love. Amen. We can be meek without acting like a jerk and just kind of straight up condemning them. And guys, they received me. And that was kind of cool. And then quickly before we continue, it was a blessing that we had Sister Lisa and Brother Val from our next door neighbors volunteering to go evangelize with us. And guys, that was encouraging to me to know that we have true friends like we learned today in Sunday school. Look at that. Brother Val was witnessing to this guy and he had a great conversation one-on-one. That was a blessing. And then, of course, just talking to other folks there. That's not evangelism at all. And And so, yeah, that was, we just had a great time. So church, just know every service we come together, my wife and I, we remind you of the announcement. So that way no one is confused. What are we doing when? You guys have a church calendar. So next Saturday, please try your best to obey yourself. We're going to be here at 10 o'clock and let's go out and continue there. Amen. All right. Next announcements, live stream links. Again, Facebook podcast, you already know, need prayer. Submit your prayers online. And if you like to give, if you're a member of this church, again, financially with your support, please give anytime between you and God. You can do so online. There's a box back there, Venmo, PayPal, and there's all these means for you to invest into your home church. Just take care of that between you and God. Amen. All right, friend, let's go ahead and go into the Bible, the best part of today's service and fellowship, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's go ahead and take now with our Bibles and join together in our verse-by-verse study through the Word of God. And I'm glad to see that our friends are bringing their Bibles to church. I'm glad to see that you guys are making more of an effort to have a physical Bible in your hand. That is an awesome blessing because you guys are disciplining your flesh. Amen. And y'all are putting in a lot more effort to learn the Word of God and to have a Bible in your hand. And so that's always a blessing. Let's continue to do that here at church. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Let's read together now, friend, and starting in verse number 13, but today we're going to start focusing on verses 16 through 21, talking about the lusts of the flesh. And so today, my friend, today's part, if you will, one, is going to be just that. We are going to be discussing the lusts of the flesh, part number one, Galatians chapter number 5. Let's read together starting in verse number 13. All right now, friend, verse number 13, the Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which just simply means it is evident, it is obvious, anybody can identify it and see it, which are these: adultery, that's a married man or married woman having sexual intercourse or sexual misconduct outside of their marriage covenant; fornication, sexual misconduct prior to getting married; uncleanness, that's the desire of a man or a woman to watch perhaps pornography or any type of lewdness with their eyes or participating in an unclean act or deeds; lasciviousness, that's that strong sexual drive within you and your natural nature that goes uncontrolled. That's just a strong fleshly carnal desire that you have for something or someone. Idolatry, you guys are familiar with that. We don't worship little idols or images, but the Bible tells you in Colossians that idolatry is also covetousness. Witchcraft, none of us hopefully no longer watch Harry Potter, amen. If y'all are doing that, I'm gonna check y'all, amen. But watch out for the DCs and the Marvels and all those guys out there. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also even time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, once again, I come before your throne of grace. I need your help. The Holy Spirit, I am so thankful that you've sealed them in my heart. I need his help. Thank you for the Holy Bible that you've given all of us here today to read and to study as a family so our lives can continue to change by the hearing of it, the preaching of it, so we may learn how to fear you and most of all, to do it. Today, God, I thank you for every soul that is here in this church representing their families. Would you please now fellowship with us, be in our midst, teach us from the Holy Bible on how to avoid what we're going to learn today from Galatians of giving in to the lusts of the flesh. May you teach us today what are lusts of the flesh. And may we have a desire today, Lord, to no longer want to pursue those things. May we remind ourselves of the penalty of our sins, which was death. And may we be thankful for the cross of Christ, the blood that was shed to cleanse us of all our sin, to make peace with you, Father. Lord, if there's any member of this church struggling here today with any sins, any desires that are contrary to the gospel, today I pray that you would help them, deliver them, Lord, so they can find in you peace and relief and victory, so they can be that much more of a stronger Christian in their life, a brighter light to shine wherever they go. I thank you ahead of time for helping me from my past, Lord. Would you continue to help us all along the way until you rapture us out of here or we die? We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, these next couple of studies are going to be a little unique and challenging, if you will, just because of the fact that it's the Bible. And in regards to these things, there you have it, Brother Javier got the Spanish, amen. When we discuss now the desires of the flesh, we are going to let the Bible define for us what those lusts are. And so with that said, let's do our best to have an open heart to see how the Bible defines what lusts are and what are those things, all right? And that way, we can let the Bible continue to change us, teach us, as we let the Scriptures instruct us on what those things are. So let's do this now. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And many of you know my style here at church. I like to kind of show you things that are mentioned for the first time in your Bible. I like for you to see how the Bible defines certain things or terms as they are in its context. So that way you guys can see how the Bible will teach it, and then it'll refer to it as it does later on throughout the book. This right here, my friend, in verse number 9 of Exodus chapter 15, is the very first mention of the word lust in your Bible. And we're going to see how it's defined, and we're going to see some things, and then I'll give you some dictionary, and then we'll continue along in our way. Today, we're just going to focus on letting the Bible define for us, what are lusts? Do all have lusts? Where do they originate? Where do they come from? And then how can we have victory over those desires? Exodus 15:9, the Bible says, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. In Spanish, mi alma se saqueará de ellos, sacaré mi espada, los destruirá mi mano. There's this desire from the soul that desires something, and I'm going to show you that as we move forward, that a lust is a desire that originates from the heart, that is connected with your soul, and it's a desire that you long for. It's something that you want, and so I'm just giving you now the first mention of it. It's something that comes from within you, that you see on the outside of you. All right, now, so let's go ahead and let the dictionary kind of give us a couple of them, and then we'll see if the Bible supports that or if the Bible has superior definitions to help us further illuminate our understanding on this topic. So the Webster's Dictionary here tells us, number one, that lust is a longing desire. It's something that you want. It's something that you're coveting. It's something that you are desirous of for a long time. Eagerness, that's something that you're just really eager to possess. You want it. You're thinking about it every day, every night to enjoy, to gain it. Number two, concupiscence, that's carnal appetite. That's your flesh that wants something that's driven with a strong sensual desire, which means it's led by your feelings, how it's going to make you feel once you receive that lust or desire. Unlawful desire, carnal pleasures. Number three, evil propensity, depraved affections and desires. Number four, vigor. All right, to desire eagerly, to long after, essentially we already repeated that. Number two, to have carnal desires for the gratification of the carnal appetite. In other words, I want to have this sexual pleasure to satisfy my flesh because that's the sinful sensation that's desired from this. I want that alcohol to satisfy this emotional desire on the inside of me to get that feeling of either a high or an ecstasy, which drugs do, or if I get that money, if I just get that job, if I just get that woman, and you fill in the blank, you're just trying to satisfy a desire on the inside, whether it's an emotional or a physical, and that's what the Bible calls lusts. I haven't yet said sin yet. We're just talking about the desire that's a lust, and then we'll talk about how that becomes a sin in the eyes of God. And then to have irregular or inordinate desires, that just means unorderly. And that's obviously homosexuality or bestiality or men or women not having natural affection to which God created them to have for. Perhaps men desiring little boys, pedophilia, that's sick, that's reprobation, inordinate affections. Now you know. That's the definition. Let's now go to the Bible. Numbers chapter 11. Let's go there next. Numbers chapter 11. So we're just going to go left to right. Amen. Make it easy for you. And I have the Spanish and English Bible, amen, up there to give you a hand there, brother. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 5. Remember, the good thing about a Bible-believing church is we like the whole counsel of God. Here at church, I like to study, give you all the verses, so that way it can feed you what all the Bible teaches concerning a thing, a phrase, or a topic. And so all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. So we're going to go from the Old Testament to the New, so that way we can be instructed by it. All right, now here we're going to be talking about the history of Israel and God leading them through the wilderness because of the rebellion. Remember, they were silly oftentimes. And God is going to give us a verse to tell us why. One of the reasons in which he was judging them for the rebellion. Bible says in verse number 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Y la multitud de raza mixta que había entre ellos tuvo en vivo deseo. Y los hijos de Israel también volvieron a llorar y dijeron, ¿quién nos dirá a comer carne? I want you to see that. Un vivo deseo. That's they fell a lusting. That's their desire. I want you to see here that God identifies this rebellion as them lusting for what? Meat. For food. And not only was it for food, we're going to see in a little bit, it was for clothing. It was for worshiping of other gods. It was for wanting to drink and get drunk and party. There's a lot of things that the children of Israel did to fail, but I want you to see it's something that they failed to, that they didn't get a control over before, which was a desire. It started out as a desire. It started out as a thought, and because it went uncontrolled, they fell to lusting. How many of you guys ever heard a brother or sister say, I fell to sin? Anybody ever heard that before? I fell to that. I fell to this. Well, there you have it from the Bible. They fell a lusting, and that's how it happens. It happens when your thought does not go with control. It's when you allow it to go uncontrolled. Okay, same chapter 11 of Numbers. Look at verse number 34. Same chapter. Just go down to verse number 34. The Bible says here, friend, in Numbers 11, verse number 34, and he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaava, because there they buried the people that lusted. There you have it. They buried the people that lusted. Allí sepultaron al pueblo codicioso. There you have it. The lustful people, if you will. And so there are consequences for lusting. Now let's kind of ask ourselves, then what is the origin of lusts from within our being? Where does it start? How does it begin to be created, if that makes any sense? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 12. So just one book back, one book to the right, Deuteronomy, if you're there in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 12. And look with me now, starting here together in verse number 15. Deuteronomy 12, verse number 15. The Word of God says here, notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee, and so on and so forth. So he is just telling them, once they enter into the promised land, the Israelites, and if they are obeying the commands that God has given them to observe, and they're being obedient, God is going to prosper them. He's going to bless them with food and with their economy. Their colonies are just going to be physically blessed for all their obedience. And so the Lord gave them a good desire. Whatever you want, whatever you desire, I'm going to give it to you because of your obedience to me. But I want you to see, it's what your soul desires. It's what your heart desires that is connected there in the innermost part of your being. If you want more of the verses to talk about that, look at verse number 20. Just quickly, look at verse 20. It says here, thy soul longeth to eat flesh. You see there? Whatsoever thy soul lusted after. Look at verse number 20. Do you see there? And then the same chapter, verse 21. Go with me now. Look at a little bit later. Whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Do you see there? And then I'll read you one more in chapter 14. You can just look up to the screen because it's just similar. I just want to show you what the Bible says of where it starts, or if you will, the origin of these desires. It's the soul. Deuteronomy 14 and 26. Look at here. Whatsoever thy soul desireth, and so on and so forth. So now, so far, the Bible defined, if you will, the origin of the desire. It's a longing. It's a desire. Two places, Deuteronomy 12:20 and Deuteronomy 14:26. So far, the Bible has helped define for us what lusts are. They are desiring, longing desires from the soul of men, whether for good things or evil. So as we saw, God wanted them to, he wanted to bless them. So it's like, hey, if you guys want this food, if you want this meat, I'll give you what your soul lusts after, what it desires. That's why I'm telling you, not saying yet, I haven't introduced that yet, because a lust is simply what? It's a desire. It's a longing desire from within a man. The question now that we have to ask ourselves is, can these lusts be judged by God? What type of lusts are evil in the sight of God, which merits his judgment upon his people? Turn your Bible with me now to Psalm chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. And let's start together, my friends, starting in verse number 17. Psalm 78, verse number 17. By the way, if you ever want to get a history of the nation of Israel, unlike we've been reading like in 2 Kings and 1 Samuel recently at our Friday night studies in midweek, read Psalm 78. It's a really good summary of how God has been dealing with the nation of Israel, and he's been very forbearing. Amen. He's a loving father, but man, is he spanking them like because of all the rebellion, all their sin, their disobedience of the covenant, not keeping the commands, etc., etc. This is a great chapter to remind yourself. Look at just simply verse number 10. They kept not the covenant of God, refused to walk in his law, you see. So go now with me now to verse number 17. The Bible says here that verse number 17. They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their what? Lust. Tentaron a Dios en su corazón pidiendo comida a su gusto, for their lust. So now when we begin to compare scripture to scripture, it's a longing desire that my soul wants, and the part of my soul that's the heart, that's the imaginations of my soul, that's the counsels of my thoughts, it ponders these desires. And then when it wants one thing over the other, then that's what it's going to drive the mind to, you know, think about with the logic of how to obtain it, how to get it. And in this case, they wanted that meat, that flesh, like they had in Egypt. Remember that? And according to God, they provoked him. They tempted him. They tried him. If you're God, if you can do this, give us this meat that we want, right? How many of us are like that at times? Because our heart goes unchecked. So now what do I say now? It's a matter of the heart. So within your soul, the Bible says there's a heart. And in that heart are the desires. And then it's thoughts. There's the thoughts. It's the imaginations, the counsels. It's just considering what you want today. I want you to ask yourself today, for example, real quick, don't get distracted now with food after church, but what are you going to eat later? You might talk with your spouse, and then you might talk with self. Self, I want a cheeseburger. Self, I want some Chinese food. Self, I want tortilla with beans, salsa, I'm pretty good. You know what that is? That's a lust. That's a desire. Notice how I didn't say sin. Why? Because there's no evil intent behind that. That's just a desire that I have. But when can it become evil? When I provoke God. And when I try God. God, if you're really God, then show me. No, boy, you don't need to talk to God like that. You don't need to say, God, prove to me that you're God with my money. I'm giving. No, y'all better not be doing that now. Israel learned the hard way now, you see there. All right, let me just share with you a little bit here. Side nugget here. Let me just give you a little side. Oh, we're not there yet in the notes, but okay, we'll get there. So I just want you to see now, when the Bible records this, it's the state of the heart of the people of Israel from long ago. They tempted God to get from him what they desired versus receiving from God what he desired. Let me repeat that. They tempted God to get from him what they desired versus receiving from God what he desired. Today, friend, that's going to be your battle. Your battle is going to be this. Are you just going to be content with what God desires for you? Or are you going to contend with God because of what you want more than what God wants for your life? That's the battle. Go down with me now to verse 29. Same chapter, 78. Psalm 78. Look just with me now. Verse 29. So they did eat and were filled. For he gave them their what? Own desires. So you see, lusts are desires. Okay, keep reading. They were not estranged from their lusts, but while their meats was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them. There's some fat Hebrews out there, amen. What are they wanting all this meat for? They've been eating too much tortas and tacos out there, some burritos, man. Bible says there, the wrath of God came, slew the fattest, smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Church, can I tell you? Your flesh will never be satisfied if your soul is not content with God. Even after God gave them meat, you know what the Bible says? They still desired meat. They were not content with what the Lord provided for them. Friend, this is the warning that Galatians is teaching us with other New Testament doctrine. Our lusts will never be satisfied. They can only be controlled by the governing power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I want you to read with me a little bit later now. This is the side now. This is the side. Look with me now in 34. Look at 34. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. Isn't that how Christians act with God? After you get judged, you get spanked, your sin exposes you, right? Everybody finds out what you did. you come back to God. But can I tell you how God is still merciful to you, sinner? That yes, you fall to sin, people find out, and when you come back to the one who you were always in opposition against, do you know that God still cares about you to help you? Isn't that wild? All I know is that when people found out my sins in my past, they no longer talk to me to this very day. And then when you find out about me or I find out about you, why do we kind of want to give up on each other? Because that's not God-like in our life. We need more compassion and grace. Now, that's a side nugget number two, but let's come back now. Side nugget one. Look at 35. They remembered that God was the rock and the high God, the Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. Ooh, what does that look like? God, we love you. We worship you, God. We know you're the one true God, Jehovah. You showed us who you are in Egypt. Oh, Lord God, thank you for killing the fattest of us with all this meat. Yes, we know we sin, but God, you're so good. That's just, you're just playing with God with your words, with your mouth. He knows the heart. So I'm not bashing on Christians from mega churches because it can happen in conservative Baptist churches with hymns. When you come to church and you lift up hands, whether you're crying or not, whether you have a beanie on or not, whether you have a flannel or a tie, how many of us flatter God with our mouth? Because he knows that you really want that thing more than him. Because what you're trying to do is outwardly check God with a spirit, or you're trying to check the church with a spiritual tab by saying, I showed up to church. Pastor's not going to be mad at me. Pastor's not going to look at me like I'm not. But all you're doing is flattering the Lord with your mouth. Why? Because your heart, it still wants that thing. It still desires that thing over there. And before he, that's why the Lord's dealing with you accordingly. Look it. They lied unto him with their what? Tongues. For their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in this covenant. But listen, guys, listen. Even if you still sin, Christian. But he, being full of what? Compassion. Forgave their iniquity. And destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Pero él misericordioso perdonaba la maldad y no los destruía y apartó muchas veces su ira y no despertó todo su enojo. That's the God of mercy and grace. So what I want to encourage you with, Christian, you will give in to your lusts. Why? The Bible says you're going to fall, come short of the glory, does it not? And when you sin against God, and when you go back to that desire, whether it was alcohol or a sexual conduct over here or some drugs over there or pride and trying to get money illegally, whatever that looks like between you and God, can I just remind you of something? When you just remember who the rock is and when you come back to him with a heart of sincerity and truth, he'll forgive you. And it could be that while you were still sinning against him in the very act of sin, rebellion, it could be that he turned his own anger away. He didn't stir up all that he could have done to you a long time ago. Anybody here? And I'm glad for that, amen. The Lord could have taken me out a long time ago. He could expose me to the whole world, but he had mercy on me. And that's why I love him more, because of how good he's been to me. So can I tell you something, friend? The Bible says in Romans 2, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. It's not the judgment of God, not the condemnation of God, not him destroying you. It's his goodness. So what motivated me to want to repent and then forsake fornication, drugs, marijuana, alcohol, everything else? It's because of his compassion. It's when I realized between me and my maker, every time I kept coming short, he still loved me. And that's what changed my life. That's why I no longer do those things. And if y'all want proof, here's my daddy right here. Y'all can ask him. Brother John, is that true? He'll tell you, yep, Carlos was silly. He's no longer that guy. There's a change in my life. Man, he's a good God, amen. So I'm just telling you, if your heart is not content with his person, you will lust after other things to try to fill the void which only God can fulfill. We must submit our heart's desires to the power of God within us, the Holy Spirit. He can help us, and he can keep us satisfied with this endless river of life. You know what Jesus said in the book of John? Out of the belly shall flow what? Anybody? Waters or living waters? So imagine if you have an endless flow of water of life flowing through you, you will not be dissatisfied. You won't want anything else but that. But when you turn off that valve because of lust of other things, no wonder why you keep wanting that more than God. So can I encourage you? Come back to the tap. Anybody? That's free right there. Write that down, brother. Okay. All right, Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Let's keep going through the Bible. Psalm chapter 81, verse number 12. What are we doing, friend? We're just letting the Bible define lusts today. And then we're going to continue on, if you will. Okay, Psalm 81, verse number 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Again, same theme. We're talking about God with Israel. They wouldn't hearken. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. And Israel, listen, would none of me. Israel no me quiso a mí. Isn't that sad? After all that God showed them, after all that he did for them, the miracles, the supernatural signs and wonders, and yet the people, they didn't want God from where? The heart. They could care less about him. How many of Christians have treated the Lord just like that? He saved your soul when you trusted the gospel. He helped restore your marriage. He forgave you, showed you grace in the workplace, showed you mercy in this church here. Your judgment and your scandal wasn't published throughout the whole world. And yet somehow, some way, over time, you just didn't want to listen to him anymore. Matter of fact, you didn't want him anymore. You didn't desire him anymore. So, verse 12, you know what God said? I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Los entregué, por tanto, a la dureza de su corazón, caminaron en sus consejos. So that's why I tell you, the heart, it's what? It's the counsels. It's the thoughts. It's your little self talking to self, trying to figure out what do you want today. And you do it all the time. Like I said, just the analogy of your example, what are you going to eat after church? Well, I feel like, well, I want this. I don't know if I really want that. You do it all the time. You talk to yourself, don't you? Sometimes you get upset with yourself. Amen. But all I'm trying to tell you is that it starts right there. It's just the counsel in your heart. So what does God see? He sees the heart. And when he sees your desires are for something else rather than him, you know what he's going to do? Okay, you want that? Here it is. And then when you fall, remember, they fell a lusting. When you come short and you say, man, God, I'm sorry because I wanted that alcohol again. I'm sorry I wanted that drug, the sexual pleasures, whatever that might be for you today or for the past. When you come back to him with a heart of faith and repentance, remember, he's merciful. He's gracious to forgive you. But there you have it. I just want to show you now, it's a matter of the heart. Psalm 106. Look with me now in verse number 14. Psalm 106, 14. Let's read verse number 13. This is real good. Listen now. Again, still talking about Israel in context. And then, yes, I'm going to pull some spiritual nuggets for you, Christian. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Pero pronto se olvidaron de sus obras, no esperaron su consejo. Doesn't that sound like Christians? They come to church and they become impatient for not just waiting on God for an answer. Waiting on God for a direction. God, I'm waiting for you for the workplace situation. I'm waiting for you for the marriage. And then you forget what he's already done for you before. You forget that he saved your soul. You forget that he judged the earth in righteousness. You forget he helped Israel. You forget all his works. And that's why you don't want to wait for the word to teach you. Verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. Y él les dio lo que pidieron, mas envió flaqueza en sus almas. So could it be, when his children are complaining, he helps them by giving them a little bit of satisfaction, but doesn't give them contentness where in their heart, because he's still trying to teach you, you're only going to get that from me. You're not going to get that from that person, that alcohol, that drug, that sin. It's not going to happen. So perhaps, even carnal Christians, now listen, that are walking in sin, and yet they're going to work, paying their debts, paying their taxes, could it be that God will give them that promotion, but there's still no contentment within where? Their soul. It could be. That's all. I'm just giving you some thoughts to ponder. But how did they get there? Because they forgot him, and they didn't want to wait on the Bible anymore. They didn't want to wait on his counsel to teach them how to direct their life. So Christian, you better take care of yourself. Okay, one more on this topic of the desires, Old Testament, Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, and then this verse is going to lean right into the next verse from the New Testament from Christ teaching concerning the desires of the heart. Look at Proverbs 6, Proverbios capítulo 6. Look with me now in verse number 25. Proverbs 6, 25. Proverbs 6, 25. The Bible says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. No codices su hermosura en tu corazón, ni ella te prenda con sus ojos. Don't desire her, God says. Now, we know in this particular chapter, he's warning a man about lusting after a woman physically. We know that. But you can apply that spiritually now. Don't lust after the fashion of this world. Don't lust after the things of this world. Don't let them entice you because of the commercials, the social media, the TikTok videos, the Instagram. Don't let the movies entice you to want to go back to listening to things you know you shouldn't, watching things you know you shouldn't, hanging out with people you know you shouldn't. Don't desire because of the beauty that they flatter you with. Because why? The woman who adorns herself with beauty, she wears a booty dress skirt. She's trying to flaunt her body to the man to get him to spend the money with her. Look at what it says. She's trying to take the man with her eyelids. She's doing it because of the makeup. But what did the Bible say earlier about Israel and God? They were flattering him with their lips. Their heart was not there. So here's how men get deceived with adultery, with women, and then obviously women with men as well. They're flattered by the outward offer of temporal satisfaction, but they're not realizing there's not going to be no internal satisfaction for the soul. So that's why many Christians give into the sin I used to a long time ago before I learned the Bible doctrine. And I'm just telling you that we are deceived because of the outward beauty. You don't consider the consequence at the time of what's going to happen if you give into it all the way. Why? Because you're just drawn by what? The beauty, the feeling, the sensation. So church, guard your heart. Guard your eyes. And how are you going to do that? With the Bible. Now, this is going to be exactly perfect to transition. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. What are we talking about? How the Bible defines lusts. Where do they originate? The heart. Connected with what? The soul. There you have it. Matthew 5. How do men sin against God? When they forget him. They don't wait on his counsel, the word of God. They grow weary of him. And yet, and that's how they go after those things. Now listen, Matthew 5. Bless you. This is a very good verse to use when you're evangelizing to people, right? I use this all the time. Now listen, Matthew 5, 27. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oísteis que fue dicho por los antiguos, no cometerás adulterio." Truth. But, verse number 28, "I say unto you, pero yo os digo, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Os digo que cualquiera que mira a una mujer para codiciarla, ya adulteró con ella en su corazón," in the heart. So you know what grace does? Grace takes it a step further. You know what the law could only do? It could only condemn you on the outside. But you know what grace does? It judges you where? On the inside. Because who is Jesus? He's God. Full of what? Grace and truth. John 1:18. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know what grace taught? You know why you're a sinner? Because of your heart. That's what God looks to. You know why you're an adulterer? Because you wanted to commit that sexual deed with that woman, and you did it. Where? In here, where nobody could see. So whatever that lust is for you today, I just want you to see that's what the Bible teaches concerning sin. That's how it becomes a sin. It starts with the desire. Now, God gave you and I, natural men and women, a desire for the opposite sex. Clearly, that's a good thing, right? Unfortunately, our homosexual neighbors and families and friends, they have an inordinate affection, so they take the natural desire for the opposite sex and they give into the desire for the same sex, which is sin, but notice, nevertheless, it's a desire for what? Physical relation. So God put that in all of us. But here's where it becomes a sin. When you want to commit the deed, knowing that it's evil and wrong in your heart, that's when you become a transgressor. So notice, it's desire. It's a natural desire for, again, opposite sex. Man, she looked good. Man, he looked good. Man, she looks pretty. Wow, he looks handsome, female, male. But then how does it become a sin? When you give into the sexual desire in your heart. Where is that? That's what the Bible calls the inner man. Psalm 44:21, the Bible says that God knoweth the secrets of the heart. The Bible calls it the counsels of the heart, Psalm 81:12, Jeremiah 7:24. So here we have it. The Lord Jesus taught that it's from the heart of men where the desire originates. And when that thought, that counsel, that imagination, when it goes uncontrolled and it's completed in action, where? In the imagination of your heart, that's when it becomes sin. So I'm not trying to get graphic with you, but it's needful for you to hear that's the truth. That's why we need to ask God to help us to learn this fear so that our imaginations do not go unchecked or uncontrolled, but controlled. So, brother and sister, some of you might not be watching pornography, and that's a good thing. But you have a wicked mind in here, and that already you already do the deed all the time right here in the heart. And again, we're just talking about this thing. We're not even talking about your anger. We're not even talking about your malice. We're not even talking about your pride. We're not even talking about you gossiping about a Christian, your family member, your spouse. We're just talking about one lust. But do you see how convicting it is when you begin to think about it? Man, God looks on the inside. That's why I needed Jesus to die for my sins. That's why I needed to be saved for my sins, because I do come short of God's glory. Where? On the inside. Some of you have been faithful to one spouse. Praise the Lord. Some of you have only been married once. Some of you have had a relationship, and now you are married now. Before, y'all had already come together before you got married. So what I'm trying to say here, what's going to help you from committing adultery against your spouse is keeping your heart in love with God. Because remember, he's the only one who can satisfy what? The soul. But when he sees within your heart that you don't desire him, and then eventually you give into it and you give into it, what did he say? I'll give you over to that thing. You're not going to be content within your soul. No wonder why men or women who commit adultery, they get divorced, and then before you know it, some of them even commit suicide, because they are so far now down the pipe of sin and condemnation within their conscience. It's the searing of their conscience, if you will, that takes place. It's very difficult for them to come back. So, brethren, you got to take care of yourself. Be faithful to one wife. The counsels of your heart, you can read that also in 11:6, 1 Corinthians 4:5. You know what Jeremiah said? He said in chapter 4:19, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. So that's just the real you on the inside desiring that thing. Mark chapter 4. Let's go there. Mark chapter 4. It's getting a little hot. Amen. Quiet. How many of you guys still love the Bible? Anybody here? All right. We need this Bible truth. Amen. Sometimes it's convicting, but we need that Bible. And trust me, guys, it works on me first because I'm preparing the Word of God. Amen. Mark 4:13. Many of you have heard about this parable, the sower of the good seed. Remember that? Y'all heard about that growing up? Different levels of soil. Some of it is stony ground. Some of it is good ground, right? You heard about that. So Jesus teaches the parable meaning to his disciples privately. And here's what he says in 13, Mark 4:13. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So what is a parable? The Lord is just going to use natural things in life to give a spiritual truth or meaning behind it. So he's going to use like bread to teach something spiritual, or water, you understand? That's what a parable is. So here we have it, verse number 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I want to focus now on 18 and 19. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So what happens? All of these soils represent what? Hearts of men. Some hearts of men are good ground. They're going to receive it, verse number 20. Some hearts of individuals are just so honest and sincere with the gospel that as soon as they know that they need to get saved, they need to start going to church, they need to start being faithful and reading their Bible, evangelism, giving. They know that that's what they need to do, so they do it. It's obvious when Christians are very dedicated because that's good ground. Other, heart is like a thorn. It's like a ground where there's a lot of thorns. You heard the gospel. You heard about Jesus. Yeah, you went to church for a little bit. You did some things. But before you know it, your heart began to drift away back to what? The cares of this world. But what about my family? But what about my workplace? I need to make money. I need to please this person. I need to get rich. How am I going to survive? God wants me to give my money. God wants me to give time for the ministry. And then notice the lust of other things. They enter in, and then what happens? It chokes the word from being fruitful. So what does that tell me? The word's in there. It's just being choked by what? Your lust, when they go uncontrolled. So what are we learning? Jesus warns us of things that can hinder a Christian from being spiritually fruitful and productive in their life. He warns of caring for the things of this world. He warns of the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. I want you to notice, though, when it says here, the lust of other things, you know what it reminds me of? In Galatians 5, when it talks about the works of the flesh, and it says, and such like. Just think about that. Lust of other things. Oh, yeah, and all that other flesh, you know, stuff. Let me give you two on this topic. Two things to remind you of. You can just look up to the screen for the sake of time. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2. Let me just pull up. Just look up to the screen. 2 Timothy 2, 4. How many of you guys call yourself a born-again Christian? Raise your hand. Anybody here today? Born-again Christian? No one. No one. No one. Just one here? Anybody else? Anybody here? Anybody born-again? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Got one. All right. We got one born-again Christian. Anyway, all right. Maybe two. All right. There we go. Look now, you call yourself a Christian. You know you have lust. The Bible's teaching all of us. We all do. We're all sinners because we have the old man. But when they go uncontrolled, it can hinder me from being fruitful. That's what he said. Here's one thing about the desires and the cares of this life that will help, will hinder you. Now listen, 2 Timothy 2, 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. What is he talking about? For example, many of you know, Brother John, he's a Vietnam veteran. He is a Marine. And he was trained, right, at the training camp facilities for the Marine Corps, and he was sent to go fight and battle, and he's come back. He's stationed at different places, and he conducts himself as a soldier, a Marine, doing his duties. While John is out there, if he's out there, and he's supposed to have a rifle in his hand to protect his platoon and his friends, but he is over here drinking it up, he's over here playing some video games on his phone, text messaging, you are going to die. And everyone else is going to get messed up because that soldier is entangling himself with something outside of his what? His duty. Now listen, verse number 4. No man that warreth, notice what he's talking about. It's like a soldier going to war. It's like a man trained to go do battle. No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may what? Please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So you know what God assumes about you, Christian? That as soon as you got saved, you understood the consequences of salvation. You say, what do you mean? He gave you eternal life. He gave you forgiveness of sins. But he gave you a Bible with commands to teach you how he wants you to live for the rest of your life. He wants you to be faithful to your home church. He wants you to be giving. He wants you to be evangelizing. He wants you to love your wife. He wants you to do all that stuff. Why? So you could please him. But while you're trying to fulfill those spiritual duties and you begin to entangle yourself with the desires of this life, the desires of this world, you know what Jesus said? It's going to choke the word from being fruitful. So what are some examples? When a Christian begins to involve themselves with politics, government affairs, social life, your family, institutions, whatever that might be, that demand more of your time, more of your money, more of your efforts, more of your bodily presence and commitment, more than God in your church, you're no longer pleasing him who chose you to be a soldier for his ministry, for his work. You're going back to the world, and those things are what? They're going to choke you from being fruitful. Those things that hinder you from wanting to learn more of the knowledge of God and working for him and winning souls in discipleship, that's what's going to help you. That's what's going to hinder you from being fruitful versus being fruitful. So what I want to tell you, it's a balance. You want to be involved in politics? Just make sure that you show up for soul winning. You want to have a good family life and spend time with your wife and spouse? Just make sure you show up for soul winning. Show up for church. Be committed. But the minute that you start saying, my wife doesn't want to, my husband doesn't want to, my children doesn't want to, oh, I don't have time. We got to go on vacation. We just need some us time. I'm just telling you, you're going to choke the word. That's all I'm telling you. Okay, one more on this topic, 1 Timothy 6. Brother Carlos, so what are you telling me? Is it wrong to want to advance myself economically, you know, trying to get a little bit better money? Because Brother Carlos, I can give a little bit more money now that I got some more hours in my workplace. I got a little better job, right? I can help. All right, that's good, brother and sister, when you're spiritual. But let's keep it real. We're not always spiritual when we see that money coming, that paycheck. You're thinking about Amazon. You're thinking about all these modern things you could do with your money, amen? And you forgot the Lord. You forgot to give because he's not that important. Why? Because the lust of other things came in and are choking you in that area. Now you are here. You're at church, and I'm glad. But when your money is longer here with you, when your commitment is longer here with you, that's why you're unfruitful. So I'm telling you, I know it sounds convicting, but that's the Bible. Now listen, 1 Timothy 6, 6. So you raised your hand. You said, Brother Carlos, I'm a Christian. You raised your hand and said, Brother Carlos, I am a soldier for Christ. I know I need to please him. I know I can't be entangling myself with lusts and desires that will steal me away from what he wants me to do. I know that. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, 6. You know what's going to help you to be satisfied? Listen, godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. Pero gran ganancia es la piedad con contentamiento. Contentment. When you can just be content with Jesus, you're not going to want those other things. When you can just be content with the Father, you're not going to want those other things. When you can just be content with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Bible, you're not going to want those other things. Because God is sufficient. Salvation is sufficient. The Bible is sufficient. You're not going to necessarily feel like you need that woman or that girl or that money or that job or all those things that choke. Because why? You're content with God. See now where it starts? It's discontentment. Lust says this can make you happier. Lust says that can make you happier. That person. And then when it goes uncontrolled, that's when it becomes a sin. And then before you know it, choke the seed. Now listen to verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So I'm thankful for you getting a 401 retirement paycheck, but it ain't going to go with you. All your W-2s and taxes stay right there with you in that grave, amen? Now somebody else might get it, amen? And Biden might get your vote next year. No, I'm just kidding, but all I'm trying to say is this. You were born into this world with nothing. You came in here naked. You didn't come in here with money or pesos or whatever your currency is. Y'all came in here with nothing. You're leaving with nothing. You know what the Egyptians used to do and the Aztec forefathers of mine and the Yaquis and all that? They find in their tombs what? Gold. They find in their tombs laden with images and all these little statues. Why? Because in their civilization, they thought that if you can just kind of put this right here with you physically, when you go into the afterlife, you're going to take that with you. They were foolish. They're going to stay right there, become dust, mold, and it's just going to become some other man's problem. Now listen, verse number 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith what? Content. So Christian, you know what the Lord said that you should be content with? Food and clothing. He didn't say that job. He didn't say that spouse, that woman. He didn't say that car. He said food and clothing. You should be content with God. Should be. So what happens? Mark 4, the thorn, the cares of this life, the lust of other things, the cares of this world. I want to be rich. I want this. I want that. You know, the Lord said it's going to choke the fruit. It's going to choke the word. Verse number 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many what? Foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Do you know what God said? You already have lusts, but man, if you keep going down that path, you're going to discover hurtful lusts. They're going to hurt you. They're going to take you out. They're going to affect your marriage. They're going to affect your life. They're going to affect your church family, your church life, if you don't have contentment with God. Verse number 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money is evil. Money is needed for the church. Money is needed to take care of missionaries. Money is needed to take care of our rent here. Money is needed to take care of buying tracts and ministry and support. But what the evil is when you desire that more than God. the love of that thing. Bible says, which while some coveted after, remember, that's a lust. They desired it. They erred from what? The faith. That's Mark 4, the thorn, brother, sister. Sister and brother, thorn, what does it say? Those things came in, they entered in, and they choked the word. So what happens? They err from the faith. They pierce themselves with many sorrows because they're not content. So let me leave you with this. It's not possessing riches that's a sin. Obviously, it's okay to have that car. It's okay to get that truck. Why? Because you could use it for good. You can be a blessing to God and to others using what you possess. Here's the problem. The problem is when you desire that money for satisfying other things that you think God can't satisfy. This will be the hindrance within Christians' lives from being fruitful. It takes much discipline for believers to advance themselves in the world of the mammon of unrighteousness, you know, to obtain degrees, certifications when you want to go back to school, to get that interview for that job promotion for that money. Only while you're pursuing that, what do? You forsake going to church. You don't pray anymore. You don't read your Bible anymore. You don't soul win anymore with your church. You become distracted with the lust of other things. It's then, brethren, when you omit those duties to your God to satisfy your carnal desires, to get rich, that's what's going to hinder your spiritual productivity. By all means, brother and sister, if you desire a better job to get some more money, hey, pursue it. Get that money to take care of family. If you got an opportunity, brother, for a promotion or sister, for you to get some schooling, to get a better job, awesome. But don't forget what God wants you to use it for. And don't forget what God expects of you while you're pursuing that, while you're trying to get that thing. And don't forget that he's looking to your heart. What are you going to use that for? So since the Lord has allowed me this opportunity to start this ministry, I believe the Lord has seen in my heart, Lord, you know that I'm going to use this money for you. My wife and I, we're renting and we're fine. We're probably going to rent for the rest of our life. Why? Because a lot of our money goes back to our church. It goes to helping other Christians. I like to buy tracts for Christians. I like to buy shirts for Christians. I like to help the body of Christ. So if my financial output is going to be more for the spiritual, there's not going to be a lot of carnal. I can't really get that house. I can't really get that fancy car. I can't really do all that. But I'm going to be rich toward God in the end of the day. Some Christians, they can get that job. They can't get that house. They can't get that car. Why? Because they don't give to the church. They don't help missions. They don't have a desire for evangelism, soul winning. They don't even go to church to evangelize. They're investing their time in so many other things, and that's why their fruitful life is like this, because it's been choked with the cares of all those other things. So we're going to stop there today. We'll pick up, Lord willing, next Sunday on all those other things. I just want to leave you with this, brother and sister. If the Lord spoke to you today through the hearing of the Word of God, you and I know we don't have an altar. But you know where? You have that greatest altar right here in your heart. I just want to invite you to pray with me now for these next couple of minutes and just ask the Lord to help you. If you know that there is a desire within your life that is not going controlled, if you know deep down in your heart, man, I'm sorry, God, you gave me more money, you gave me that job, you gave me those hours, but I haven't been doing, Lord, would you help me? If there's any of you who are not satisfied with God today because you're thinking within yourself that you needed that man, that woman, that car, that job, that whatever that is, and the Bible just showed you, no, you just need God. You just need contentment. If that's you, would you pray with me? And let's make a commitment today. And let's ask the Lord to help us right now moving forward. Because remember, he's compassionate. He can forgive you when you remember him. And if you remember right now what you need to do to put him back first, and you want to make that commitment with me, let's pray together. And if you want to spend private time with the Lord, guys, there's plenty of pews. Just kneel at one of those and pray to the Lord, and let's pray now. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you now for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the conviction that the Bible gives us when we remember you. Today, Lord, I think that's what I learned most. I need to remember you. I need to remember you even when I come to church, even when I sow with my brothers and sisters, even when I give my finances. I need to remind myself, God, of why I'm doing it. Because I love you. Because you loved me. You gave your life for me on the cross. You shed your blood to pay for all my sins. And you graciously offered me eternal life, something, God, that I don't deserve. And yet, God, I find my heart wandering when I want to go back for the money or the things or the lusts and the desires and the sins, because I forget you, God. Today, Lord, I know that our members here are guilty of just that because we're all sinners. I know that they've all struggled with forgetting you in their hearts. When lusts go uncontrolled, desires that go uncontrolled, when they're not content with you, God. Today, would you please help us to once again find contentment in you so we could be happier in our marriages and happier for those of us that are single and happier when we go to work and happier when we come to church because you are enough. You're enough for us. And so, Lord, would you please increase within every member today a desire to be content, a desire for you to just say, Lord, you're enough for me. Your Bible's enough. Salvation's enough. My little church is enough. Whatever they have right now, God, that's enough. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for delivering a lot of us from a lot of things that we used to do, we no longer do. Please remind us, God, of the shame that was a part of all that old life. So we don't have any desire to go back to it, but illuminate our lives, our eyes, and show us of the good that can come when we desire spiritual things more than carnal. So God, I thank you now for all of our church. I just pray that you would help them now. Be with them. Help them get home safely. And I thank you ahead of time until our next gathering. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, I love you all. May the Lord bless you. Please go home safely. And until we see you next, amen. May the Lord bless.